You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to Issues Etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
It was the story, gruesome, unbelievably horrific, that many just didn't want to tell. If you will remember, that story of Kermit Gosnell, a Philadelphia abortionist, made it to the news, but over against the objections, the kicking and the screaming of much of the mainstream media. The story was eventually told, but it was told as in a perfunctory way as possible. And of course, the story needed to be followed up on what exactly happened to this abortionist who was eventually convicted under the law as a murderer of both women and children. We're going to tell that story of Kermit Gosnell, who, well, our guest for the next remainder of the program says his actions fit that of a serial killer. Phelan McAleer joins us. He's a filmmaker and investigative journalist. He's a former editor for the Irish News in Belfast and co-author of the new book, Gosnell, The Untold Story of America's Most Prolific Serial Killer. Phelan, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. Thank you very much for having me on.
You make the case in your book that Kermit Gosnell fits the profile of a serial killer. Why, in the end, though, was he only charged with 7 murders and 2 counts of infanticide?
It was difficult to prove. One of the reasons, the grand jury wanted to indict him for a lot more, but one of the problems was that the city of Philadelphia did not want a spike in their homicides statistics. You know the way all these cities now are very proud of, you know, reduction in violent crime and murder rate is halved and all these great statistics and, you know, tourism, they want tourism, they don't want to be known as a violent city. If he had been charged with anything near what he had done, it would create this massive statistical spike in violent crime and murder in Philadelphia. So that was, there was political pressure that this shouldn't happen. Also, you know, they weren't able to go back too far. They had to go with the existing evidence that they had, the existing bodies that they had. They saw what he was doing. He was killing these babies and he was killing his patients. You know, he was killing many babies every week. They believe he was at it for 30 years. They think he killed hundreds, probably thousands, in a 30-year killing spree.
How did the public come to learn about what Gosnell had been doing for 30 years?
Well, it wasn't due to abortion regulations, and it wasn't due to health inspectors, because they had a hands-off approach to him. He wasn't inspected. Women were dying in the clinic. Babies were being literally piling up in the cellar, dead bodies. You know, doctors were complaining about having patients coming from him almost dying. No good, didn't matter to the health authorities. No, what happened was he also was selling illegal drugs. Prescription drugs, oxycodone, to drug addicts, and it was a drug investigation. It was a dedicated professional narcotics officer who was investigating, heard about a woman who died, checked out the police report, and realized there was no police report, thought this was really weird, really strange, and he decided, this was a woman, this was a refugee, she spent 20 years in a Bhutanese refugee camp, and he said, no one's looking out for this woman. No one seems to care about this woman. She was here in America 4 months, and now she's dead. I'm going to care for her. And I think the assistant district attorney, Christine Wexler, said of this cop, Jim Wood, she said, Jim Wood is a hero. Jim Wood was Mrs. Munger's champion. She had no other champion. He was her champion. He got her justice.
What did the grand jury hear? What was the story? And it's horrific, but what was the story they were told upon which they based their indictments?
As you say, it's horrific. This is a man who was doing abortions. He was doing late illegal abortions, but very late, because the legal abortion in Pennsylvania is 24 weeks, 6 months, which is very, very late. Where, you know. But anyway, the babies were born alive, and he would then stab them to death with his scissors. And he did this many times a week. The babies were so big that people were taking photographs of them. Even the hardened staff were horrified. Then he was killing his patients because he wouldn't come into the office. He had unqualified staff administer anesthesia. So you had his chief anesthesiologist was a 15-year-old girl. So people were dying left, right, and center. And it was a murder house. It was a charnel house. The grand jury called it a house of horrors.
What kind of complaints, reporting, anything had been piling up against Gosnell over those 30 years? Was there any?
Every kind of complaint you can imagine. Actually, funny enough, there was whistleblowers. The woman delivering the vaccines complained. She was so upset and so alarmed. She ran out to her car and phoned from the car. There was a member of staff who wrote in detail. Another person contacted Philadelphia Homicide Department and asked that a murder investigation be launched. It was. It was brushed under the carpet. Of course, there were at least two women who died. Their deaths were reported to the Department of Health, who stamped their files. No further investigation needed. A doctor noticed that women were reporting to emergency rooms with botched abortions that should never have taken place because they were so illegally far advanced. I mean, one doctor noticed that women were getting the same diseases after visiting the clinic, and he suspected that he was reusing single-use equipment and spreading disease. He wrote a letter of complaint. Nothing. Zero. Zilch. The bureaucracy, the politicians, they all wanted a hands-off to abortion because abortion is more sacred than women's lives in these bureaucracies in these cities. And that was clear from the case of Kermit Gosnell.
You quote one person in your book saying everybody knew about Gosnell. How can that be?
Look, abortion is a sacred sacrament. That is, in the secular world, abortion is a sacred sacrament. Philadelphia claims, liberals and progressives claim to care about minorities. They claim to care about, refugees. I mean, Philadelphia is a sanctuary city. But his most recent victim, Samika Shaw, a 22-year-old black woman, a mother of two, Karnamaya Mungo, a Bhutanese refugee camp, a refugee who spent 20 years in a refugee camp, only to die 4 months after arriving in the United States. No one cared about the refugee. No one cared about the minority woman. There was no sanctuary for Karnamaya Mungo in Philadelphia because abortion must be protected. That is the rule. That is the law. That's not the law, but that's the way the world is. And these people died as a result, and hundreds, perhaps thousands of babies also died as a result.
Where was the Department of Health through all of this?
And they were in Harrisburg, getting their pensions, getting their highly paid salaries, and closing down any investigation of abortion clinics. And the person who really, really started this off was Tom Ridge, a Republican governor, believe it or not. So there was this kind of, you may remember the conventional wisdom was that when Philadelphia, a Republican had to be nice. Remember that? I think the last election may have disputed that conventional wisdom, but that was the conventional wisdom. The Republican has to be nice and moderate, be friendly to everyone. So Tom Ridge was running for governor. So he ran as a pro-choice Republican. And up until then, abortion clinics had to be inspected every year. Now, the inspections were awful and useless, but at least people walked in and walked around once a year. Once Tom Ridge got in, he said no more inspections, and Gosnell's clinic was not inspected for 17 years. That's 17 years, until it was the drugs raid. It wasn't anything to do with women dying or babies dying. He was selling drugs, and it was a DEA narcotics investigation, not an abortion or a murder investigation.
Where was the Philadelphia Police Department?
They were running around praising themselves about how much they'd reduced violent crime, I suppose. We have a case in the book that no one knew about where a man, his wife disappeared. He was very concerned. He asked the police to call his ex-wife to call over and see her because she was heavily pregnant, 7.5 months with twins. The police called around and said she's okay. She was sick. She's lost the baby, and he was very upset. Then he got a credit card bill a few days later for Gosnell's clinic, realized that the babies were actually aborted at 7.5 months, which is illegal, which is murder, even in Philadelphia. And he called the homicide department, and they did a cursory investigation and didn't go any further, and didn't even talk to Gosnell, didn't look for the medical, he said it was a medical reasoning, it wasn't. And so this is where they were. They were facilitating mass murder under their watch.
Tell us about, they're called the Delaware Girls, but tell us about Sherry West and Linda Williams.
Well, as the detective said, the detective investigated, I wouldn't let them mow my lawn, you know. I mean, Gosnell ran an abortion clinic, but it was actually like a cult, you know. It was like the Manson family. He had deeply wounded, deeply, you know, hurt people, drug addiction, sexual abuse, alcohol addiction, mental illness, other kinds of illness. These are people who are on the outside of society, who suddenly got a job working for a doctor, thought they had landed, thought it was good. And the doctor told them this is what they do. And in the cult-like atmosphere behind those closed doors, where no inspectors went, where no one in the suit and tie ever went and brought some decency and some standards to the situation, they thought this was okay. You got to remember, like the health clinics, the Department of Health, they were next door closing down restaurants for dirt, closing down nail salons for using the wrong type of chemicals. So there's lots of rules and regulations, and these assistants who were mostly uneducated were told this is okay, and the government never stepped in and said it's not. So, you know, eventually some of them realized this is crazy, and they started taking photographs of the babies because they were so big, and they realized this is wrong. But it was like a cult, and it was difficult to break out of.
Palin McAleer is our guest. We're telling the story of the Philadelphia abortionist convicted of murder, women and children, Kermit Gosnell. More after this.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
He's the most Lutheran man in the world.
I'm not always in Pensacola, Florida, but when I am, I attend Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida invites you to join us for divine services on Sundays at 8 or 10:30, Sunday school and Bible class at 9:15. Whether you're in Pensacola to enjoy the white sandy beaches of the Emerald Coast or for military training, we invite you to join us. Jesus is here. Word, water, bread and wine for you.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Stay Lutheran, my friends.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History, Go to theclcc.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. theclcc.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. On this Monday afternoon, February the 6th, we're talking about Kermit Gosnell, the Philadelphia abortionist who was convicted of the murder of women and children, the co-author of the new book, Gosnell, The Untold Story of America's Most Prolific Serial Killer, Phelim McAleer. Phelim, if someone asks you, who is Kermit Gosnell, how would you answer that question?
Well, you know, I suppose it takes a book to write about Kermit Gosnell, and that's, you know, that's why we wanted to write the books. We made a movie, but realized so much in it that you can't say in a movie. You know, and people could see. If you want to know who Kermit Gosnell is, go read the book. I mean, he's a mass murderer. He's a serial killer, but you know, he's a very plausible serial killer. We interviewed him in prison. He's very avuncular, very kind. He lies repeatedly. He's slightly crazy as well. We talk about his foreign travel. He's been to Auschwitz, and he's the only person on the planet I know who asked about Auschwitz, described it as, and like, this is an exact quote, impressive. He described Auschwitz as impressive. So he's a deeply disturbed man, but very, very plausible, very, very pleasant. He lies repeatedly, and thank God he's behind bars.
Now, there are those who look at the Gosnell story, and they say, who couldn't be shocked by this? But they'd say Kermit Gosnell is just the outlier. He is the extreme exception to the rule. How would you respond to that, Phelim?
Well, you know, actually, I was going to say I would have agreed with them up until recently, but I wouldn't have agreed with them. But as a journalist, you see, I'm not allowed to speculate. I can't speculate. And up until recently, I had no evidence that he wasn't, maybe he was, you know, just one crazy rogue practitioner. But then, and I urge your listeners to go and look at the recent congressional report into the Planned Parenthood undercover videos, because they investigated, but not only did they investigate that, they extended the investigation into other abortion providers, and they interviewed staff who worked for a Texas abortion provider, who still work for a Texas abortion provider, and I was shocked when I read the testimony in the affidavits. It's exactly like Gosnell, killing live babies, unqualified staff, unsanitary conditions. Kermit Gosnell had cats in his procedure rooms. There was cat feces everywhere. And this was, it was almost a carbon copy of this guy in Texas. So this is going on in purple Pennsylvania. It's going on in red state Texas. We've also heard that it's going on in Delaware and in New Orleans. Kermit Gosnell is not alone. And, you know, I wonder if these people are the exception or are they the rule? Because I don't think Americans know what goes on behind the doors of abortion clinics in their country.
What kind of defense, after being indicted, what kind of defense did Gosnell mount for his crime?
He tried to maintain that the children were never alive. He tried to maintain it was just and that the women dying, because he was convicted of killing a woman, that woman was a bit of medical misadventure. But, you know, the staff said babies moved. The staff said the babies curled up in the fetal position. The staff said the babies cried. The staff said the babies struggled for their life. One member of staff described the baby swimming in the toilet. These babies were alive. They had short, brief lives. And that was one of the great things of writing this book, was that we were able to give these children lives and personalities and stories, because they, you know, people thought they were unwanted. And that was one of the problems with getting the authorities to prosecute this case. You know, how do you get a jury to convict of murder someone who was murdering babies that even their own mothers didn't want? But these babies had lives, they had personalities, and they had meaning. And they had short stories, but their stories are amazing. And their stories, they may have a short life, but I'll tell you, the effects of those lives are going to be felt for generations, because the Gosnell case is going to reverberate for generations.
What about his adult victims, at least those that we know about and those for which the prosecutor could find evidence to convict? What could you tell us about them?
Well, Karen Amaya Munger, as I say, she was a Bhutanese refugee, spent 20 years in a refugee camp in Nepal in a tin hut. She was a genuine refugee. After 20 years, she got a refugee status, moved to the United States, and then 4 months later, she's lying dead on Colonel Gosnell's operating room after being given anesthesia by the Delaware girls, by two uneducated, illiterate, uncaring women who were both drug addicts themselves. I mean, it's a sad, sorry end, but actually in the end, it's what brought down Colonel Gosnell was that a hero detective, a hero cop, decided this goes no further. This stops now. I'm going to investigate. I'm going to get justice for Karen Amaya Munger. She may have been in a sanctuary city, but she didn't get any sanctuary. But I'm going to make sure that she gets justice.
You say that one of the biggest surprises of Gosnell's trial was that the prosecutors, was that there was a trial at all. What do you mean by that?
Well, they thought that the evidence was so overwhelming that he would plead guilty, but he didn't. He's a narcissistic serial killer. He believes his own story, his own narrative, and he's great at spinning stories and narratives, and he thought he was going to get away with it, and he thought he was going to be found innocent.
How would you evaluate the media coverage? Once these things were uncovered and the indictments were in, how would you evaluate the media coverage of Gosnell?
Well, it's not hard to evaluate it. It's virtually non-existent, and that became a story in itself, and in fact, we have a chapter in the book on that. It's called media malpractice. So the media just refused to cover the trial. You know, this is America's biggest serial killer, and this is a country that's fascinated with crime. This is a country where every night on TV is crime show after crime show after crime show. And they decided not to cover the story of America's biggest serial killer. You know, this is because they didn't want to cover a story that might put a negative spotlight on abortion. So they didn't. Eventually, they were shamed into it by a Twitter storm, by Kirsten Powers, who wrote a very, very powerful article in USA Today, castigating the media for not covering it. Her article was, "We've Forgotten What Belongs," on page one. So it was non-existent. And now, of course, again, our book went straight into number 3 in the Amazon bestsellers. It was the number 4 best-selling book in America last week, but it has not had one single mention in the New York Times or in any mainstream media outlet at all. It has not been reviewed. It has not been mentioned. It's not been described. It's just, it's like it doesn't exist. So they're still trying to cover up the story. And, you know, it doesn't work. It doesn't work nowadays. They made that mistake during the election, and they're still making that mistake, and it's destroying their business.
In fact, there was at least some mention, I guess, in and around the trial, that this was a prosecutorial lynching. There were accusations of racism. How do you evaluate those, Phelan?
Well, that was Gosnell's defense. You know, this was a racist attack. He was an African American, but his victims were African American or minorities mostly. Also, he was a racist. Certainly, he knew all about what the importance of race. He treated white women better. White women always got treatment from him, not from his unqualified staff. White women got better rooms, got nicer rooms with cleaner towels and cleaner sheets. He was the guy. He knew that he had to keep the white women happy and didn't care about the black women or the minority women. And I suppose, you know, he said that's the way of the world. And the reality is, if the white women had complained to those bureaucrats in Harrisburg, maybe they would have listened. Maybe they wouldn't. Who knows? I think abortion covers all sins when it comes to this kind of reporting, and you know, it doesn't matter who you are, abortion must be protected.
So talk about having been convicted of 7 murders and 2 cases of infanticide. What kind of a sentence was meted out to Colonel Gosnell?
Well, in the end, he was convicted, I think, of 3 murders and the killing one of his patients. It was capital murder, so there was a possibility of execution. So he did a deal with the prosecutors that he would accept life without parole, provided he didn't appeal his convictions. And of course, he agreed to that, and he was given life without parole. And then he immediately started appealing his conviction. So you can't trust a word he says in life or in prison.
Where is he now? Where is he incarcerated?
In Huntington Correctional Institute in Pennsylvania. We visited him there. He's having a ball. He's having a great time. He's very disappointed he can't get into the poetry class. He's reading the Quran in two different translations. He's joining the Nation of Islam. He's in the band. He plays the piano. I mean, you know, he's taking a lot of exercise because he wants to do a triathlon when he gets out, because he knows he's innocent and history will judge him, and he will be innocent and he will be released shortly, he believes.
You mentioned before those undercover videos that expose Planned Parenthood's trade in fetal body parts, the body parts of aborted babies. It seems as though there is something of an affinity here between Kermit Gosnell and that kind of practice. How would you put it?
Well, yeah, I mean, funny enough, I think the problem was his clinic was so dirty and so unsanitary that even the baby parts buyers wouldn't want a baby part from his clinic. But funny, he's a serial killer, right? So serial killers keep trophies. So one of the things he did was he would cut the feet of the babies and put them in jars and label the jars. He would take pictures and store the pictures. You know, he was a collector of the macabre, and had serial killer tendencies of labeling things and collecting things.
We're talking here then about a man who, I guess the question is, did he just so happen to be an abortionist? Would he have been a serial killer by some other means otherwise? What's your opinion?
I think so. I think he had all the hallmarks of a serial killer. And I think abortion is a great place to go if you want to be a serial killer, because you can kill in plain sight and be lauded as a hero of your community. Like he was nominated at one stage for Young Philadelphian of the Year.
We're talking about Philadelphia abortionist Kermit Gosnell, convicted of murder, with the author of the book, Gosnell, The Untold Story of America's Most Prolific Serial Killer, Faleem McAleer. We'll be right back. Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com. The new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois invites you to an open house from 1 to 3 in the afternoon on Sunday, February the 12th. Take a tour, visit with faculty and administration, and find out more about financial assistance and scholarships. For more information, call Dr. Jay Krause, 618-656-0043, or send an email to j.krause@melhs.org. Open house at Metro East Lutheran High School, Edwardsville, Illinois, Sunday afternoon, February 12th.
I'm talking with regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb about a new book by one of his former professors. Which one, Ken?
The late Dr. Kurt Marquardt, and the book is The Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People.
You edited this book.
Yeah, the unpublished manuscript was among Marquardt's papers, and it is vintage Marquardt, lively, engaging, centering in the Christ who saves, with an apologetics chapter at the end.
You can find out more about Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People at lutheracademy.com.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India.
Sweden.
Egypt.
France,
Turkey,
Japan,
Australia,
Canada,
United Kingdom,
Hong Kong,
Austria,
Finland,
Malaysia,
Singapore,
Bulgaria,
Korea,
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines,
Mexico,
Spain,
New Zealand,
Kuwait.
We're getting the untold story of Kermit Gosnell, the Philadelphia abortionist who is convicted of the murder of women and children, the co-author of the new book, Gosnell, the Untold Story of America's Most Prolific Serial Killer, Phelim McAleer. Phelim, let's talk a little bit about his backstory. How does someone become Kermit Gosnell? How did he become an abortionist practicing serial murder?
I suppose, you know, there was a lot of money in it. I think that was one of the things, and it allowed him to kill with impunity, and it allowed him to be a hero as well in certain, believe it or not, in certain quarters.
You deal with some myths about serial killers, and some would say Kermit Gosnell just doesn't fit the profile. He isn't white. He isn't motivated by a sexual perversion. How do you deal with some of those objections?
Well, he was having sex with many members of the staff. He was known as someone who his hands were often inappropriately touching people. He took photographs of women's genitalia and stored those and showed them to other people. It's a myth that serial killers are white. There are many minority serial killers. They don't seem to be white to be a serial killer. So he fits all those criteria.
What has changed for you after writing this book, looking into this story that is difficult to hear? I cannot imagine how difficult it is to investigate in detail and then put into writing, then to tell this story as it ought to be told.
No, it's very important that we told it. And you know, this is, I don't know if you know, the New York Times has refused to put it on the bestseller list, even though it's the fourth biggest best-selling book last week. So the New York Times, you know, doesn't want this truth out there. The media doesn't want this truth out there. And that, as a journalist, it was very, very important that we write this book and get the truth out there. And I really want your listeners to go out and buy the book and read it, because it's important that you know this, but it's also important that a message is sent to the New York Times. The cover-up stops now. You're not getting away with this cover-up any longer. You know, you tried it in the election. You try it all the time, but we're wise to you. We see through you. We see past you. So, you know, go to Amazon. You know, go to gosnellbook.com. Get a great book, but also send a message to the mainstream media that we're not going to take it anymore.
Phelim, did anybody learn anything? I guess what I'm asking is has there been, since the exposure of Gosnell and his trial and his convictions, has there been any improvement? Department of Health, Philadelphia Police Department, at greater attempts at regulation of abortion clinics?
Anyone who sat through the trial who was pro-choice became pro-life or had their faith in abortion shattered at the end of it. I think many people realized the most horrific part of this is the details of legal abortion, not just illegal abortion. They've tried to bring in a lot of regulations because of the Kermit Gosnell case in clinics around the United States. Supreme Court struck them down last year. But I think this has changed everything. I think the Kermit Gosnell case has sent out a message that this needs to be properly regulated, that this no longer can these people operate behind closed doors without any kind of follow-up.
Specifically, what, in your opinion, needs to change about the way the abortion industry is watched and is regulated?
Well, I mean, I try not to bring my opinions into this and suggest political changes. That's up to politicians. They can, I'm all I know is that Pennsylvania and Philadelphia is one of the most regulated cities on the planet, especially when minorities are concerned and refugees, they claim to care and they love, and there's so much money and time spent on regulation, and it was useless. The body count, it just actually was a good cover because no one inspected too far because they were. This was part of a highly regulated industry. So it actually gave cover to a serial killer. So, you know, people need to know that, that so much regulation actually sometimes allows people to do terrible things because people look away because that's taken care of now. So I can't suggest any solutions because it's not really my job, but politicians need to know that regulation is not the cure-all.
Your co-author interviewed Kermit Gosnell from prison. What did he have to say during, what struck you about what he had to say during the interview?
Well, I mean, you know, he's a deeply creepy person. He kept touching Anne's leg, making inappropriate comments to her. He sang to her in a French love song. I urge people to go and read. Many people said it's their favorite part of the book because it really gets you into the mind of a serial killer. You know, he lies all the time. He lies often. He lies frequently. He's visited Auschwitz. He said Auschwitz was impressive. There are deeply disturbing aspects to him, but he's very plausible too. He's very relaxed. Like, he just came off a golf course. He's going to be released. He's innocent. You know, so, you know, people should read that chapter. It gives you a really interesting insight into the mind of a serial killer.
You say that he actually is still writing, you and your co-author, voluminous letters. What's he saying?
Yeah. Oh, he's writing the whole time. He sends out, justifications. He phones me all the time. You know, I'm at a dinner or at a wedding sometime and the phone will ring and say, will you accept a call from Huntington Correctional Institute? And I always do because I'm a journalist. But he also writes, he writes poetry. He also sent us biblical verses justifying abortion. Actually, you can read those at the end of the book. So we printed them in full. He takes biblical chapters, biblical verses, biblical lines, and biblical phrases, and then writes beside them how they are a justification for abortion. I'm sure many of your listeners will be very interested in reading that. And please, if you go on the Facebook page, the Gosnell Movie Facebook page, would you read that and give us the answers to that. Write just how crazy that is, because people need to know this.
Did abortion make Kermit Gosnell a serial killer, or did he fit the profile before he started performing abortions?
I don't know. We don't know enough about his early life. I think he was a serial killer who went into abortion.
Are there other Gosnells in the abortion industry, do you think?
Yeah, totally. As I was saying, the Senate congressional hearing, it's very clear that there are people, deeply disturbed people. I mean, I think abortion attracts strange people, you know, strange doctors, and there are deeply disturbed individuals out there. It's quite clear are still carrying on this type of behavior.
Even if Kermit Gosnell had not been a serial killer and a deeply disturbed murderous individual, was he medically credentialed to do what he was supposed to be doing?
No. You're supposed to be an OBGYN. And he wasn't a fully qualified OBGYN. So he wasn't even, that was the thing, you know, even if they had asked him to post in his qualification, they would have known he should never have been running an abortion clinic. That's how basic his flouting of the regulations was.
In the end, what can be done to prevent? I know you aren't giving specific policy to politicians, but in terms of departments of health, police departments, in cities like Philadelphia, what can be done to prevent another Kermit Gosnell?
Well, I mean, people need to take the blinkers off about abortion. They need to know what real abortion is. They need to not protect it, not say that it's some kind of sacred sacrament. They need to when complaints are made, they need to apply it to the full vigor of the law. They need to treat an abortion clinic like it's a restaurant. They would close restaurants if these complaints were made. But they didn't close Kermit Gosnell's abortion clinic.
What did you learn in the course of your investigation?
Well, I learned the truth about abortion, which I hadn't known before, and that's the shocking thing. I think Planned Parenthood are geniuses. They managed to not let the people of America know what the reality of a legal abortion is, never mind illegal abortion. So I learned a lot of that, and I think anyone who learned that during the trial left the trial very much more pro-life than when they started it.
What do you make of organizations like Planned Parenthood who routinely lobby against and object to further oversight of the abortion industry?
I think they're geniuses. I really do. I think they're amazing. I think they have managed to fool Americans and keep the truth about abortion from most Americans.
Finally, Phelim, there are listeners who sadly may just kind of vaguely remember the name Kermit Gosnell. They may say, oh, I've heard that name before, but I don't know who or what you're talking about. To them, with about a minute, what would you say in answer to the question, who is Kermit Gosnell and why should I care?
Well, he's the biggest serial killer in American history, but he was allowed to kill in plain sight. He murdered hundreds, perhaps thousands of babies and adult women. And, you know, he did so in abortions, but they weren't. He's not a serial killer because he did abortion. He's a serial killer to kill live babies. He will bring you the truth about what is really happening in abortion clinics across America. People need to know that. There's a lot going on behind these closed doors and that you don't know about. And also, this book, and this is important, will bring you the truth of what goes on with legal abortions, with normal, acceptable abortions. And, you know, when you find out what an acceptable abortion is like, a lot of people find it really, really, really unacceptable. I think people owe it to themselves. You know, if you're going to talk to someone about abortion, find out what you're talking about. Find out what's legal, what's illegal, and if you're happy with either legal or illegal abortions. We go into it in detail. But it's a story. There's heroes there, too, a hero cop who went against the political system to bring this guy down. It's an important story. It's part of American history that needs to be read.
Phelim McAleer is a filmmaker and investigative journalist, former editor for the Irish News in Belfast, co-author of the new book, Gosnell, The Untold Story of America's Most Prolific Serial Killer. You can purchase this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Phelim, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll look forward to Sunday morning talking with Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, about Jesus' warnings against anger, lust, divorce, and oaths. And on Wednesday, we're going to visit with President Obama's faith vote director, Michael Weir. He has written a book called Reclaiming Hope, Lessons Learned in the Obama White House about the future of faith in America. We'll be talking with him about Obama's evolution on certain issues like same-sex marriage. And was there an evolution on religious freedom? It's hard to tell. The HHS mandate, and whether or not President Obama was aware of the fact that this was going to be a major issue of religious freedom in the United States, among other issues. That's Wednesday on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Registration for the 2017-18 school year is now open at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul is the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis. We're located 1 mile off Interstate 55. Come check out our pre-kindergarten and elementary school, where worship, historical hymnody, and catechesis are interwoven with direct academic instruction. Open house is Sunday, February 12th. Find out more at school.stpaulhamel.org.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com, churchmusicsolutions.com.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Do you believe that there's not one error in the Bible? That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.